Good morning and welcome to EcoRodovias' second quarter of 2019 earnings conference call. With us here today are Mr. Marcello Guidotti, CFO and IRO, and Andrea Fernandes, IR Director, as well as executives of the company. This presentation is being recorded, and all participants will be in listen-only mode during the presentation. After that, we will begin the question-and-answer session for analysts and investors only, when further instructions will be provided. Should you need assistance during the call, please press star zero to reach the operator. The audio and the slides of this conference call are being broadcast simultaneously at www.ecorodovias.com.br/IR. There, you will find the presentation for download from the webcast platform in the Investor Relations section. Before proceeding, we would like to clarify that the forward-looking statements that may be made during this conference call relating to EcoRodovias' business prospects, projections, and operational and financial targets are based on the management's beliefs and assumptions, as well as on currently available information. They involve risks, uncertainties, and assumptions as they refer to future events and hence depend on circumstances that may or may not occur. Investors should understand that general economic conditions, industry conditions, and other operating factors may affect the future performance of EcoRodovias and lead to results that differ materially from those expressed in such forward-looking statements. I will now turn the floor over to Ms. Andrea Fernandes, who will discuss the second quarter of 2019's results. Ms. Andrea, you may proceed. Good morning. Welcome to another conference call by Grupo EcoRodovias, today addressing the results of the second quarter of 2019. We thank you all for your interest and participation. We would like to mention some important events. Concessionaire Eco 135 began toll collection in April, and after nearly 4 months, we registered a traffic volume 10% above the levels estimated at the time of the auction. Pro forma EBITDA totaled 39.8 million reals, with a margin of 75.5% this quarter. In May, we concluded the acquisition of Eco 050 MGO in the amount of 654.8 million reals. And as of May 31st, the concession was consolidated on the company's balance sheet. It's important to note that Eco 050 has already made 80% of the expansion investments anticipated in the concession contract. On July 6th, the decision to suspend the bid process for Rodoanel Norte until December 31st of 2019 was published. The results of the second quarter of 2019 remain affected by the toll exemption for suspended axles at Ecovia Caminho do Mar, Eco Cataratas, Ecovias dos Imigrantes, and Ecopistas. Toll exemptions for suspended axles will be subject to contract rebalancing. We can see on slide 2 that the consolidated traffic of equivalent paying vehicles in the second quarter of 2019 increased 20.9%. Excluding the exemption of tolls for suspended axles, the trucker strike in 2018 and the operational startup of Eco 135 and Eco 050, consolidated traffic declined 1.2% in the second quarter, remaining flat in the first half of 2019 when compared to the same period of the previous year. Comparable traffic of heavy vehicles at Eco 101 was affected by the region's pulp industry cycle. Ecovia dos Imigrantes and Ecovia Caminho do Mar recorded lower traffic due to the reduction of soybean and corn crop shipments through these concessions. Ecopistas registered growth driven by traffic induction after the exemption of toll for suspended axles. In addition, light vehicle traffic was positively affected by the increase in tourist flow during the Corpus Christi holiday, considering that in 2018, this holiday occurred during the truck driver strike. As regards the group's consolidated results on slide 3, pro forma net revenue this quarter amounted to 695 million reals, and the net revenue of highway concessions posted an increase of 17%, even with the negative impact of toll exemption for suspended axles. In this quarter, it amounted to 32 million reals and accumulated since May 2018 was of 139 million reals. Moving on to slide 4, comparable cash cost in the quarter amounted to 192 million reals, excluding non-recurring expenses and the operational startup of new concessions. The increase this quarter was of 7.8%, mainly due to variable costs at Ecoporto as a result of higher handling volumes, as well as increased personnel expenses at the holding and services companies. It's worth noting that comparable cash cost of highway concessions, the most relevant segment in the group's consolidated results, posted a 1.5% decrease year on year, even with an inflation rate of 3.4% in the period. This is a result of the continuous pursuit of operating efficiency over the past few years. Comparable pro forma EBITDA, excluding non-recurring expenses, was 484 million reals in the second quarter, at a margin of 70% and an increase of 19%. Despite the impacts of toll exemption for suspended axles, all concessions posted growth on EBITDA and margin in this quarter, as we can see on slides 5 and 6. With a special highlight to the operational startup of Eco 135 and the consolidation of Eco 050. On slide 7, we show the evolution of net income in the second quarter of 2019, positively affected by the higher EBITDA, but on the other hand, negatively by the financial result with the beginning of accounting for the monetary variation of Eco 135's concession rights, the increase in provision for maintenance, and increase in depreciation and amortization, leading to net income of 58 million reals. As regards the investments on slide 8, CapEx in the first half of 2019 was 568 million reals. Estimated CapEx for 2019 is of approximately 1.4 billion reals. The highlights are the duplication works at Eco 101, the works to connect the Rio Niterói bridge to the Red Line and the Port Avenue at Eco Ponte, which already have the BNDES financing facility in place, the initial works at Eco 135 and whose financing facility from BNDES is in an advanced stage. Moving on to slide 9, we see that with the conclusion of MGO's acquisition, the net debt pro forma EBITDA indicator this quarter achieved, as expected, the peak of 3.3 times. The long debt amortization profile, along with a cash balance of 3.2 billion reals and the future cash generation, make us comfortable regarding the group's financial capacity. Therefore, the company maintains its attention on growth opportunities, in particular the auction of BR 364-365 in September and Centrovias at the end of November. We are optimistic with the federal government's agenda for highway privatizations and with the state of São Paulo's agenda, which in addition to new privatizations is making progress in the discussion of new contractual amendments for Ecovias dos Imigrantes and Ecopistas, as well as in finding a solution for the pending unbalances. It is also worth noting the programs in Minas Gerais, Rio Grande do Sul, and Rio de Janeiro. This concludes our presentation. We would like to continue to the questions and answers session. Operator, we are ready. Thank you. Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session for investors and analysts. If you have a question, please press star 1 on your telephone. If your question is answered during the session, you may remove it from the line by pressing the pound key. The questions will be answered in the order they are received. We ask that you use the handset when asking the question in order to maintain excellent sound quality. Please stand by while we collect the questions. First question, Pedro Bruno, Santander.
Good morning, Andrea Guidotti. My question, as Andrea mentioned in the beginning of her remarks, about the evolution of traffic in the new concessions compared to what was expected at the time of the auction. We're seeing a higher level than expected. Can you give a little bit more detail about BR-135 and MGO in terms of traffic and other metrics when compared to the auction's expectations from what you can already tell, and what this means in terms of additional returns compared to what was expected, and what you can imagine now if we assume the recurrence of operating levels above what was expected? Thank you.
Good morning, Bruno. This is Marcello. As Andrea said, the traffic is performing well at both. The MGO result is probably due to the fact that it's a very important corridor in economic terms, and Andrea mentioned on her speech that the duplication works are 80% concluded. The effect of this duplication works is already occurring. The ramp-up is clear. Probably all our initial data that we've captured, I would say this effect is more a result of the conclusion of these sections of the road in important regions that started in the end of 2018, early 2019. So I think it was expected to see a ramp-up of traffic, but it is being above expectations. At 135 as well, I think that what we put on our business plan was probably a ramp-up at the beginning of collection that did not occur. Normally, there's an initial traffic level, and then there's with the toll plazas, there's a ramp-up 10, 15, up to 20% of the initial traffic. This didn't occur, and we're repeating the initial numbers. At 135, of course, the result is the present value. If the volume of data is confirmed, there is no event that leads us to believe this is punctual, then this is a very favorable data. So the rate of return is above 15%. Ideal to leverage at 135. So updating the plan, we've changed the financing structure. We're now contracting with BNDES. But really, the traffic point was a surprise. Again, in general terms, traffic is, as Andrea said, we expect the behavior over the year in line with the GDP. Of course, July was surprisingly good for trucks. The corn crop is performing well. So except for Ecopistas and 101, these two new ones are generating more, and if the GDP is consolidated at a more robust level, I think we will have a recovery at our concessions, Ecovia and Caminho do Mar.
Okay. Excellent. Thank you, Guidotti.
Felipe Vinagre, Credit Suisse.
Good morning. I have two questions. First, about leverage and your firepower there for the taking new projects. How do you see this considering Brazilian interest rates? Has it changed your maximum level for leverage? It's 3.3. Maybe it will decrease in upcoming quarters, but this is an above level, above average. So how much more leverage can you increase? And the second question would be about the investigations. If there's a status, a more specific information you can give us, if there's an agreement or a fine or any timeline expectation, any additional information that you can give us on the status of investigations. Thank you.
Good morning, Felipe. About the leverage, we expected this peak, as we mentioned, as Andrea mentioned in the speech, because there's MGO, there's all the debt of MGO as well. We're starting to spend money in the works at 135, Ponte, the bridge and 101. The bridge is already crossing the middle level of its investment plan, getting to the end of the investment plan for the bridge and that five-year. Echo 101 is also accelerating and some of the investments in the duplication work to have the contract up to date. Oh, this was expected. So, of course, we have the suspended axles that are affecting our results. So it was expected, but I think in the next quarters, this tends to become stable and will start to decrease again. In terms of leverage, we don't have much. I would say the limit would be around 3.5. We have new debentures and covenants consolidated that get to 4. If we look at the cash as well, and are consolidated, but also at the holding and concessions, we still have stamina to be able to participate, in particular of the two auctions that are planned for this year. But yes, definitely, we'll see that it will demand a lot of the project, and it depends on the federal and state levels. We'll continue paying attention to costs. We're already adopting the dividend policy. The market is a good liquidity. It is good and competitive at reasonable rates. But of course, we do have balance to be able to face the 2-3 years of projects in the highway segment. I don't think this is for right now, but we know that it will be possible in the next quarters. About the investigations, we don't have anything new to disclose. Our investigations have been concluded. We're now working internally with lawyers and consultants to try to see the best way that we have to take or to follow to be able to solve this, but we don't really have any actual new information. Thank you. One more question about São Paulo. You mentioned quickly at the end that your negotiations with the amendments and the pending balancing needs. Do you have any expectation of the outcome of these negotiations in duration, or do you think it's anything for the second half of the year, or will it take longer? And the second point is, do you think it's going to be a one-off package for all the points, or is it going to be focused case by case with renegotiations for one thing, for suspended axles, and other negotiations for the amendments, another? What do you think? In the state of São Paulo, the contracts have been accumulating for many years with events of unbalancing. Of course, the best solution would be to close a package. But
We've been dealing with this for many years with open current accounts, and the more we can close and agree on, the better. Of course, if we have a concession contract that may be amended with new investment, it would be fair to get our contracts rebalanced so that we have a solid base to include more investments. But there's no strategy in place. I think what's good is that the company has the interest and the granting authority as well to find the agreement and rebalance everything in time as needed. And the discussions are very positive. So I would say that throughout the rest of the year, we will get some outcome. I hope that for all of the points, but definitely something will advance and progress. Excellent. Thank you. Lucas Barbosa from Morgan Stanley.
Good morning, Guidotti, Andrea. Two questions. First is a follow-up on Felipe's question. If you can give more details about the consultancy service that was hired to help you in the investigation of integrations one and two, if you can give us more information what the consultants are doing, if they're carrying on internal investigations, or if they're providing legal counseling. Any detail that you can give us will be excellent. Second question, have you had any expenses on the studies for the Santos Guarujá Bridge in the second quarter? And if you can give us any detail of these expenses, that would be my question. Thank you.
Lucas, about the first question. It's a combination of different points of expenses. Of course, the main ones are with the consultancy services to carry out the investigations. And then, of course, there's clear methodologies with forensic surveys and everything that add up. And the costs for internal audits and investigations. But I would say that now, it's more on the legal side of lawyers, and the majority of the investigation's been concluded. So we're spending with the implementation of programs or improvements to our programs that also involve the consultants, but also with the lawyers and analysis of risks and sensitivities and so on. The idea is that all of this will get to a conclusion and a reduction until it comes to a stop. But we are still with these costs at the holding. The other question was at Ecovias, the expenses. We are having expenses. They're linked to environmental licensing and the project of the bridge, the executive project, and the investments are adding up. It's important expenses that have been done. It started in 2018, but now in 2019 as well, and it's important. If this amendment is concluded and approved, these expenses will be a part of it. I would say that it's more than expenses, it's an investment. I wouldn't address that as an expense, but it's happening. We need to make progress so that we don't do different than our timeline. Thank you, Guidotti.
Lucas Laghi, Citibank. Good morning. Two questions. The first is also a follow-up on Vinagre's question, but also thinking of new projects, as Andrea mentioned, 364.
With the organic growth of EBITDA, do you think you can sustain the appetite of these shorter terms auctions, or after consolidation of MGO in the balance sheet, do you think that maybe you consider a capital increase? And the second question about Ecoporto, especially now that in February you resumed operations and the ships on dock, if you see changes for the operation and if you think that the perspectives are better even for maybe a spin-off of Ecoporto.
Lucas, about the capacity, we do have the means to participate at 364's auction and Centrovias auction. These are projects that there's CapEx spread out, and it shouldn't be such a high disbursement immediately. I believe we do have the capacity for them, but there's two in terms of expectations, having 30, 40 highway projects. That's when we will have difficulty. But for these next two, we are already getting prepared and studying with due diligence and care. And we will see. Your other question about the port. You see, the port today is starting to run again. Of course, not at the levels of when we bought the port, but we're operating using the assets to pay operating expenses, CapEx. The debt is close to being paid off, and I think it's an asset that it's no longer a problem, so to speak, getting to a neutral balance, but it's a strategic asset. It's not our core activity, but it's strategic. It's an area with the possibilities for expansion, so we don't have, or I would say that our idea is for the port to improve the concession being renewed, and then we make a decision. Thank you, Guidotti.
Victor Mizusaki from Bradesco BBI.
Good morning. Two questions as well. One about the Ecoporto. If you can give us an update of the process that's being analyzed by ANTAQ. And the second question about capital structure, if you can give us an estimate of how we should see net debt EBITDA of EcoRodovias at the end of 2020, considering the concessions of the current portfolio. Thank you.
About Ecoporto, we're waiting for ANTAQ to get to a conclusion at the instruction. It's going well. I'd say it's moving smoothly. It's moving along. I'd say it's a good environment as well for this discussion. I don't have a lot to add on that. It's going well. I believe we have good perspectives. About the leverage for 2020, end of 2020, I don't have a number. We're mature. The cycle of Eco101 and Ecoporto are starting to decrease in 2020, I think. It's two business that we should maintain, or that around three, maybe slightly above that, but to start a reduction. Of course, it can happen in 2021, at the end of 2021, in the year of 2021, we have the cash generation of current businesses. So I see this trend of net debt EBITDA
that it reached a peak. It is reaching a peak, and it will starting to decrease at some point. And depending on traffic as well, if, of course, if traffic starts to increase at the levels of 10, 15 years ago, 3.54%, which is reasonable, I think it can accelerate this decreasing curve of the ratio. And the cash capacity in terms of our debt profile, that is important. It's a long debt profile. And of course, the fact that we have access to the market and the market is solid.
Once again, in order to ask a question, please press star one.
Lucas Marquiori, BTG Pactual.
Good morning, Guidotti, Andrea. Quick question about 364, 365. The invitation to bid's already out on the street, and I'd like to hear from you what you have in mind for the project. Now that you have MGO in the region as well, is it right to assume that you would have a gain of scale or synergy in this specific project? Just to understand what you're thinking and if you see this as a positive project, the return level to expect, that type of detail. Thank you.
We're a few or many weeks away from the auction, and we can't give you a lot of details. We will have all the details in due time, but the project, the rate is of 9.2, the project rate. That for the current moment is reasonable. But in terms of synergies, I'd say there aren't many. They're separate. But there may be some synergies. It's a federal project. A federal power that we have a lot of contracts with already, so the risk is well known and accepted. It's a difficult contract.
Available for any doubts you may have. Thank you. Have a great weekend.
EcoRodovias conference call is now closed. Thank you very much for your participation. We wish you a very good day.